Good evening, Sue. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you.
What is the Australian Land Research Data Centre?
The Land Research Data Centre is it's part of the Division of Wildlife and Ecology, and it's where we're collecting and archiving NOAA data, which is NOAA data is the weather satellite data, and we archive it there and we send it to the United States as part of a global 1 kilometre data project.
Oh, I see. So you collect the data from the American satellite. Where do you receive it?
The data is received at 6 different stations. Well, actually 7, but we don't get it from the 7th. The 6 are Hobart, Darwin, Casey in Antarctica, Manila, Townsville and Perth.
And these receive this data every day?
Yes.
Okay, and they record it on tape?
Yes, it's recorded on 8mm tape, which is the same as a video recorder tape, but better quality.
Oh, right. So, just a sort of upmarket VHS?
Yes, a bit like that, but yeah.
Okay, then. And what do the people do with the data once they've got it?
It can be used for a number of things. It's used for NDVI, which is Normalised Vegetation Difference Index, and that can tell you a bit about land cover and the state of the land cover. Index meaning indicating what state the land's in.
So sometimes that's called a greenness index, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called a greenness. Yeah. But it's also used for, the Bureau of Meteorology used the same data for weather monitoring and prediction, of course.
So do they actually see the cloud cover, or do they actually get some temperature measurements from it as well?
I believe they do temperature measurements. They do sea surface temperature measurements as well. That's for the oceanographers. They use it for that.
So that helps the fishermen, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and what else do they do with the data?
There's a new index, which is the Global Environmental Monitoring Index, which we're just investigating now.
Mm-hmm.
It may prove more useful than the NDVI, but again, it's for land cover research.
Okay, so it basically tells us whether the forests have been cut down and whether the farmlands are okay. Is that right?
Yeah, that as well as what state it's in and how productive it may be or how unproductive. And it's, in our case, it's for global climate change research, and that can give us information about now.
Okay, so the NOAA weather satellites have been up for many years, of course, and
yeah.
This data's coming in now. You've got quite a backlog of data now, about 10 years or so, is it?
We've actually, we do have NOAA data back till 1981, but this particular data we're archiving now is a different type of data, and we started archiving it in April 92, so it's more recent data and it's better ground resolution.
Well, what's the point of keeping the data from that far back?
So you can notice changes over time.
Right.
Human memory is actually quite short.
Yes.
So it's good to have a record.
Yes, people are telling us that we never had the weather like this before,
Yes.
And you go back the records and find, it was only 10 years ago.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so basically it's scientific data that is an increasing treasure trove.
That's right,
for researchers.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. And the Australian Land Research Data Centre is going to be involved in other projects in the future, aren't you?
Yes, we're actually one of our new projects will be the Continental Instrumented Ground Station Network, which we're doing this as a way to calibrate the satellite data, because at the moment there are problems with calibration of the NOAA data.
By calibration, you mean knowing that it's true?
Yeah, and making it meaningful, making it useful, and knowing that what you're doing with it is true, is real, that you can use it to apply it to something and know that that's okay, because it is all relative and it is subject to human error. So we try to do it as well as we can.
So what are you going to do? Get some guy up in a mountaintop in a hut and taking down data?
Well, no,
or is
not
it more
quite.
More automated?
No, it's probably not all that automated. It's actually we've got some radiometers which measure radiation.
What, heat radiation?
Various radiation in the electromagnetic spectrum.
Right.
Similar to what is being measured by the satellite. The same spectral bands.
Yes.
And we're actually going to use Australia's lakes as spots to do it. So we're doing it in a little aluminium dinghy with the radiometers attached.
Mm.
And, yeah. we'll be travelling around in our little boat.
Oh, right. Some people have all the luck, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. And some future satellites are going to be put up, aren't they? The Europeans are putting up the European Resources Satellite.
Yeah.
And are you going to get involved in getting that sort of data?
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be serving the long-track scanning radar data, which will be another data set for us. And that's good because radar can see through clouds, and cloud detection is always a nuisance when you're dealing with other data such as Landsat or NOAA.
Okay. And what about using aircraft?
The CSIRO's bought a new scanner called the Daedalus scanner, and if that goes into operation, we'll be collecting that data as well. Mm. But this is early days yet, so I'm not sure.
Have they got an altitude limit on that so it doesn't play too close to the sun?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Okay. Well, you know, then some of these satellites return huge amounts of data.
Yes, that's right.
So how do you go about storing it? I mean, you must have huge warehouses of tapes. Or are there other ways to store it now?
Yes, but we'll be looking. I mean, we're trying to keep up with the technology. At the moment, we keep it on the 8mm tape, which is quite efficient. One tape will hold 5 gigabytes of data, which is quite a bit.
Remember, home computer, we're talking about hard disks of 80 or 100 megabytes,
aren't we?
And giga is 1,000 times more.
That's right, So it's 5,000 megabytes per tape. And we process 50 gigabytes at a time, So there is a lot of data handling, but at present, storage isn't a problem, as in for space. It's only maybe a problem for time. We don't know how long the media will last. So in that case, we may go on to optical storage, such as CD-ROM or whatever else they come up with.
Watch it, folks at home. Your videotapes might decay.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. So you mentioned optical storage. What exactly is involved there?
I don't know much about the technology. It's using laser imprinting on
a bit like compact discs.
CDs are optical storage.
Yes.
And there are different types of optical discs.
Yeah, different sizes.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So pretty well everyone's going to go into that sort of storage medium because they're so convenient, aren't they?
Yes. They're not only convenient storage-wise, but they're extremely hard-wearing and long-lasting. That's the best part.
Because they reckon about polycarbonate lasts 20-30 years at least.
Yeah.
We don't know because they haven't been around that long, do we?
No, nobody knows yet. Mm. The problem with any magnetic storage medium is that it's prone to magnetic fields, which may destroy the data.
You only need to sort of have a magnetic watch or something and erase the data.
That's right.
Perhaps not totally, but enough to corrupt it.
And optical storage are more or less temperature sensitive as well.
Yes. Well, Sue, we hear a lot about global change and so on. Presumably, your archive would be quite a treasure house for the scientists going into that.
That's right. It's precisely for that reason. It's part of an enormous global change research project that's going on internationally, of course, it's global change. It's called the International Geosphere Biosphere Project, and most of the work we do is a part of that. And it involves international cooperation, which is another good thing that's happening in research.
Well, you're certainly making a contribution then to the future of the world.
Yeah, we hope so.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us tonight on The Space Show, Sue.
Thanks very much.